Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your match preview for Chelsea versus Manchester City in the FA Cup semi-final, or as Tom has lovingly named it and will remain named like that for all intents and purposes, the one with the cup final hopes resting on Cole Palmer's beautiful shoulders. And that is definitely what we need to talk about. What a season it has been so far this year. It makes no sense. Chelsea destroying Everton 6-0 on Monday night after a disappointing Desmond against Sheffield United. At home against Manchester United again, followed by Everton. Chelsea scored 10 goals and Cole Palmer has scored 7 of them. And on the back of that, we travel with high hopes to my stomping ground, my ends, for a massive FA Cup semi-final clash against the current holders, the treble holders, the champions, Manchester City. So, we should probably get straight into it. It is myself and Tom. Jordan was going to join us from Bonnie, Scotland. However, he's had a technical difficulty, and that technical difficulty is his laptop screen is quite heavily destroyed, much like Everton's defence on Monday night, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, they. Jared Branthwaite, I have a bone to pick with you.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
I said, oh, really good player. I like the look of him. And then he decided to play with his legs open for the entire game, ship six, and then get injured in quite a comedic way. So, yeah, that's a shame. But still, I still believe there's a player there. Just maybe not for as much as Everton fans think he's worth.
Yeah,
but they played like a side that are in trouble, and that was, I think, mainly echoed by Dwight McNeil and Ashley Young being their wingers. We wonder pre-match, if you don't watch much Everton, you see, oh, they don't score many goals. Only Sheffield United have got fewer goals than them, and then you look at the team, you're like, maybe that might be why. They were absolutely shocking. As good as we were, and we were very good, I think that might be the best, most fluent, complete 90-minute performance we've had under Pochettino, I think. I can't think of one where we've been better collectively. Like,
you can't disagree. It's 6-0, mate.
Well, no, but you know, we've had some good results at some point this season, and we were playing a pretty terrible Everton team. But apart from Beto's missed open goal after 10 minutes, they never really came anywhere near to scoring. Whereas I think, obviously, you know, we've shipped two in our last 7 before that. The weird thing about it, and I think it's both a great, exciting thing about this Chelsea team and also quite depressing, is that at 4-0 at 3-0 up, even at 3-0, I was still like, not fully comfortable. It wasn't until that fourth goal went in, the Nico Jackson goal, which I didn't celebrate because I looked up and thought Cucurella was offside. Thanks, VAR, for ruining everything. It was only until that goal went in that I was actually relaxed and I could enjoy a half-time beer happily, rather than if it was 3-0, I'd have gone, well, if they score, then we know what's going to happen. But 4, I was like, nah, we're fine. And we were. And then we battered them again. And Alfie Gilchrist.
That was magical, mate. You could just see how nuts he went. That was a very special moment. Even if, like, he doesn't amount to anything for Chelsea, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life, as I'm sure he's going to remember that as well. That was fantastic. It was a spectacular night of football at Chelsea, and you know, hopefully we can continue this form against Manchester City. I do have one thing I'd like to say about Everton though, and it's specifically about their fans. And as you know, Tom, I have family who are Everton season ticket holders, sit in the Gladys Street end. You know, I'm mad about the club. So I know a little bit about what's going on. I will always have a soft spot for Everton. But I will say to all the fans that stayed for the full 90 minutes and were still singing and stood their ground and did their bit to support the team, credit to them, because that's a long trip home. And a Monday night football coming down from Liverpool to come and watch that, it's no mean feat, especially when the fact there's probably no trains on the way home either. So credit to all those fans that stayed, credit to everyone that came down. And they did make a good atmosphere until they were getting absolutely drubbed. And you can't blame them, to be honest. But, you know, I do feel sorry for Everton. I think there's a big issue there, huge issue, where for a side that's so close to the drop zone and mathematically probably would have been safe as well if they hadn't got the points deductions, they look very bad. Like very bad. Like it's Everton have looked poor over the past couple of seasons, but they've had a little bit of a resurgence towards the back end of games, and there's been something there. Sean Dyche is a cracking coach, and I think he's a very good fit for what Everton need right now. But they are in serious trouble, and I think if I was an Everton fan, I'd be extremely worried that if they do go down, I'd worry there's a very serious chance of back-to-back relegations because that club has been run so poorly. I moan about us as do you, Tom. So, you know, I hope Everton do okay. Like I said, I've got a soft spot for them, and I think in terms of history within football, as a side that have never been relegated from the top division, you know, founding members of the Premier League, I hope that they can maintain their status going forward and building it. But not building it too much, because then they'll be better than us and I can't be having that. But, you know, aside from that, it doesn't really matter. One thing for us to definitely talk about with that game, by the way, Tom, is that midfield. Now, I know that with Manchester City, we're probably going to pack it out again. But you mentioned there was a real fluidity to how we played. And one of the big worries that you and I have spoken about this season is when Cole Palmer plays down the middle, we hadn't really seen him get the ball and be as creative as he could be. This game was very different, but because he was in the 10 and obviously Enzo was injured, we saw a double pivot of Moises Caicedo and Conor Gallagher. Now, that looked very good, that midfield, didn't it? And it might, for me personally, I don't know for you, but it does raise a few questions as to how it shapes up going forward.
Well, I thought Caicedo had his best game for Chelsea, absolutely. I thought he was brilliant. I don't think he put a foot wrong, you know, obviously, especially given that Manchester United game where he made the colossal mistake. Against Sheffield United again, he was a bit, he was a bit meh, as I say, which is not ideal, it's not what we want. But I thought it was really good. Gallagher, the thing with watching Conor Gallagher is he's obviously got the energy, he has the leadership, which, you know, obviously he dealt with that penalty well, which we'll no doubt talk about at some point. But I think as a player, I think he is limited. I watched him and I'm like, he slows the game down quite a lot because he can't make those quick passes that Enzo can. And I have to say, I think Palmer in the 10 is great. And I like Madueke. I think he's a good player. I liked having Madueke and Mudryk on the wings and Jackson up front. Yes, we were playing an Everton side who were particularly poor. And Jordan Pickford had a really, really poor game that actually made me quite worried for the Euros, because he will be our number one keeper. And he's got to be partly to blame for at least three of those goals, if not more. That's slightly worrying. But anyway, that's a different point altogether. I think it's a good thing going forward. I think, you know, obviously Enzo has his hernia, which has come out in the week that he's been having injections before each game, which is why perhaps he's not hit the levels that we expect of him and he expects of himself. We've seen that he can have surgery and then return in 3 weeks, roughly, which to me is an absolute non-brainer. Obviously, have the surgery, especially with how well Gallagher played in that role. But yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I think it's a good thing. I think having options is good. I think Palmer being able to play there long term is probably good, because that's a hard position to fill, that 10 role. But then obviously, when Nkunku's back, if Nkunku's ever properly back, who knows, then that brings other questions in. You've still got Romeo Lavia, or Lavia, however you say his name. Not heard it enough on commentary this season, so I don't know where he's going to play. There are all these things that we can talk about ahead of next season, but I think having options and having fluidity with one thing, with one formation, and also being successful with another formation is a good thing.
I think that's fair enough. I mean, like I said, Enzo's had a hernia, which means that whilst he's out, we're going to be very lightweight in that department. But we've played well there. And look, I think it's probably going to be something which we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks regardless. So, you know, let's see how it develops in those games, which might be a bit more of a challenge. Overall, I think you're absolutely right about Caicedo as well. You can see he was a player with confidence in that game, and you can see how important that is for him. So I want to see him have that confidence, be as capable as he can be, and he's proven he can be in a Brighton shirt, and as he did against Everton. I like how he's quietly gone about his business in 2024. He's not been outstanding, But he's been a solid 6-7 out of 10 every single week. And that Everton game, he just dropped an 8 or 9 out of 10 performance there. There's only one 10 out of 10 on that pitch, and that is Cole Palmer.
I mean, he probably would have got man of the match had it not been for Palmer, to be honest. I thought he was really, really good, Caicedo. And it made me happy watching him, because I know how hard it's been for him. He's had, obviously, the price tag coming in. It's not been easy. He's playing for a side who have struggled at times, and he's been a part of that. He's been a bit average. He's made, like, big mistakes, like we talked about that United one. And then you have a big game like that, and I just really, really hope that the rest of the season and onwards, he can just play now happily with confidence and just enjoy it more.
I think that's a big thing. You could see that in that game he played with no weight on his shoulders. So, you know, I'd like to hope he can continue that. But, I mean, look, we've got to talk about it. We talk about him every week for obvious reasons. But Cole Palmer has broken numerous records in a Chelsea shirt in that game. He is, I believe, one goal behind Frank Lampard and Didier Drogba for goals scored at home in a Premier League season. He's the first Chelsea player to score in 7 consecutive home games. He has broken Hazard's record for most goal contributions in a season. He's
first
level
back-to-back hat-tricks since Drogba.
First back-to-back hat-trick since Drogba. There's another one. Level in the golden boot race with Erling Haaland.
Most goal involvements, joint with Watkins.
Do you want to just... Is there any more stats I'm missing out here? Because I didn't even know that one.
I don't know.
That's your job, mate.
There probably are.
Stat shagger.
There probably are. Yeah, I know, but I didn't do a Cole Palmer shrine because everyone else did. And I was like, you know what? I try and find niche stats.
Yeah, we're different, aren't we?
Exactly. But, I mean, basically, this Cole Palmer kid that we signed kind of seemed a bit randomly in the summer from this small club called Manchester City. It turns out he's all right. He's quite good. We signed him. No one knew what to expect. I thought he's a decent player who's not quite had his chance yet. Is he going to get it at Chelsea? We'll see. And then it turns out he's now clearly our best player by quite some distance. He leads the team. He plays with the confidence of a 28-year-old. The first goal is absolutely excellent. Best goal I've seen in a long time live. Second goal, he's just in the right place. And then the third goal again, like the audacity to do that. That's a perfect hat trick in, I think it was 16 minutes of football. Then obviously he slots his trademark penalty. But to do that, he's just incredible. Back-to-back hat tricks, as I said. It's not even just the goals and the assists and everything he does. It's just everything off the ball. As soon as he's got the ball, he seems to see the game in slow motion. He can spot the runs. He knows where to park. We need to slow it down. We're not quite ready. Or no, bang, ping it to whoever's making the run. He's just amazing. And, you know, it makes me excited thinking about next season when maybe we'll have a few other weapons fit or we'll just be a bit more settled or, you know, we kind of know more about the identity of the team rather than just Palmer. But to be on 29 goal involvements in a team that are currently ninth in the table is in his first proper full season of the Premier League as well is just outstanding.
He's been absolutely fantastic and long may it continue. One thing we do have to touch on, obviously, as it's finally been decided, and you've mentioned it already in Palmer's fourth goal there, that penalty incident is probably the only blemish on what was a perfect performance. It's been settled, I think it's fair to say. I mean, Pochettino came out in the presser, was just obviously kicked off because he cancelled it, rightfully so as well. I don't agree with how Neil Barnett handled that situation personally. Just from a professional standpoint, I think, you know, it says, you know, something that needs to be adapted slightly, but you know, that's just my opinion. I do think he's incredible and he did incredible things at Chelsea as well. I think that, you know, that strength from Palmer just to come out and be like, it's mine. And then Poch went, no, he is a penalty taker. That's it. We've decided now. Clearly because the conversations of, right, guys, can you decide amongst yourselves have not worked. Credit to him. I was quite disappointed with how Nico Jackson and Noni Madueke dealt with that situation. And I do think what Dele Alli said, I don't know if you've seen it at all, on Monday Night Football. And by the way, he was fantastic on Monday Night Football. He's definitely got a career in talking about football once he's finished, and because he actually talked about the game rather than just taking the mickey the whole time. I thought what he said about, well, it's all well and good taking a penalty when you're 4-0 up and there's no pressure. Didn't see you standing up to get the point against Manchester City in the home fixture.
Or Man United the week before.
Exactly.
No, I agree with that. I think that's a very valid point, put well. What annoyed me is actually initially, Palmer's down. Madueke thought he'd won the penalty, so he went for it. I don't mind that. But then when Palmer's up and he's like, oh yeah, I'll take it. Then you go, oh yeah, fine. Or you say to him, can I take it? And he's like, nah. And then the captain comes over and says, no, come on. And then you go, okay, fine, you leave it. Which Nonny kind of did, to be fair. He went off eventually, reluctantly, and then he shook his head and he was angry. But then he did celebrate and he was fine. Nico Jackson was a weird one because he was kind of not really involved. He was involved at the start, then he left. Then he came back in, got really angry, and then refused to celebrate. And then fair play to Madueke for basically telling him to grow up and getting him over. Very weird situation, and felt very only this Chelsea team could manage to make a 4-0 lead almost turn sour at one point. And the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge suddenly turned really weird around me anyway. People were very angry, like, get him off, none of that. Which, initially, I was a bit like, kind of agree, but then also, there's part of me that really likes a player wanting to score goals, but I do completely agree with Dele Alli's point. Well, why don't you go and score a goal anyway, or step up when there's a bit of pressure on rather than to make it 5-0. All in all, a situation that probably, I think, Poch is definitely partly to blame, because how have we got to mid-April, which I think Nizar Kinsella previously said, Chelsea do not have a designated penalty taker. How we got to this stage in that position is an absolute nightmare. And it's a good thing it happened in this game where it didn't really matter.
Do you know where he said that, Tom, by the way? Nizar?
I believe it was on the Chelsea Town Hall on the Sidelines Twitter space.
It was indeed.
Twitter, now known as X.
Yeah, it was. So just a little plug there.
More of those coming.
Well done. Love that. You're getting so... I'm so proud of you. You're getting so good at those.
But yeah, that to me was crazy when I heard that. And I'm glad it's sorted. That is the kind of thing that can never happen again. I like what Poch said, that, you know what, I had a word, minor telling off, we've dealt with it now. If it happens again, it'll be more serious. I like that, fair enough, move on. But it was a bit grim viewing at 4-0 up. You know, it was just a bit, like, everyone kind of around the ground was a bit like, oh God, here we go. It's like PTSD from Kepa when it really mattered. This obviously didn't matter, and that's why, you know, it's a good thing it happened then and not, say, you know, the one against Man United. Can you imagine that happened then? And then Palmer misses it, or someone steps up and misses it, and you're like, oh my God. And then it would have spiraled. So, all in all, all ends well. It's fine. But yeah, a bit of an unnecessary stress in an otherwise pretty stress-free evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But that is your chat about Everton brought to a satisfying and strong conclusion. But with that being said, we've got to move on. We've got to do our standard housekeeping, all right, in Act 1 of every single preview. We have some important things to discuss outside of the previous fixture. Tom, let's get straight into it. Every time you do that, it makes me giggle. hello. What is your forgotten banger for me this week?
This one I have known since Friday when I heard it. You know when you go on Spotify and you just click play in your songs and it sometimes just comes up with a random song? And this time it did, and it was amazing. Like a G6.
Oh! Yes! I love it!
By a bunch of people. What a song!
Far East Movement, mate.
Far East Movement, exactly. And also the Cantorax, and also Dev, or D-E-V. So if you're too young to know that song, because I think it was like 2008.
2010 or 9.
10? Yeah. Somewhere between 2008 and 2010. If you're a young lad or lass, listen to that song, because it is a tune. People of our vintage, that was a proper school disco tune. And tune. Yeah.
It was a fantastic point. Well, mine's actually a very different vibe, but it is one you definitely hear in a cheese room. Because what happened is I was actually on the way out of a meeting earlier today, and as I was leaving, you know, your phone's in your pocket and your music just randomly starts playing. It came on and it sounded like it was my ringtone, so I had to walk out and say hello to it. But then it was absolutely fantastic, because it's one of my favorite songs, and it's one which is incredibly underrated, and that is Mercy by Duffy.
Oh, yes. Absolute tune. That would be a really good ringtone as well. Imagine like a ringtone for your ex or something, and it starts playing Mercy. Yeah, so good. So
dumb.
Good.
Dumb, really, really dumb, 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 dumb. Oh, fuck. Here she's her again. What's she want?
Yeah, yeah. Good. That would be good. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Speaking of phones playing out loud, I, on my recent flight back from France, was trying to get my coat out of my bag because going from France, the south of France, to London, it's quite a significant change in the temperature because London's cold all the time. And in doing so, I accidentally turned my speaker on. And it started playing my music to the entire plane. And what do you do in that situation? I just pretended I pretended I didn't know it had happened, and just sort of carried on. And it was just still going through my AirPods. But that was, it was, the plane had just landed, so it was really quiet. And my, you hear the UE boom, do do do, and then it starts playing for like, I don't know, 5 seconds, and then turns off.
It's that, was it like, is that point in between when everyone's waiting for, yeah, the seatbelt sign,
yeah,
to go off?
That was exactly what it was. And it was just before people had got up as well to like start getting their bags. There's a bit of noise. It was literally the bit where everyone's sitting there bored. And it's awful. But you know what? No, I'm never going to see any of those people again, so who cares?
That's, to be honest, that is one of my least favourite bits about planes. I hate that bit. I always wait until people get off unless I'm literally right at the front or right at the back. That's the only time,
yeah,
I'm like...
Same. But I was in a rush because I had to get to Chelsea to see Cole Palmer's first hat-trick of the week. Of, yeah, the, well, 10 days really, but yeah. Anyway.
It's basically the same bangers. Shit, different day, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
The same match,
exactly,
week. Well, it's two match weeks, but
yeah,
it is
exactly
what it is.
Exactly. Forgotten Bangers, a resounding success. Once again, the playlist is on its way. Maybe.
Right. Can you just get that done? I'm designating that to you. That is your job. You've got to go through all the previous pods and just find out what the bangers were.
To be
and
fair,
put it on.
It won't be that hard to find. It's like 15 minutes in each time. Yeah, I'll do it.
Bang it.
Take a bullet for the team and find it out.
There we go. So it's got to be ready before the next match week or the next recording, so I can literally plug it in there and be like, guys, if you like our really bad music taste, please come and get involved. Because,
yeah,
it's not bad, it's amazing. But yeah, we will move swiftly on, though, because it is time for Tom's big question. As always, Tom asks, what do you have?
Well, this is our third match against Manchester City, so trying to find someone that I haven't already asked before was not very easy. And I decided after last week's Werther's question, which has had very mixed reviews internally, I thought I would just ask something a bit more basic and straight down the line and about football and about FA Cup semi-finals, as that is obviously what we're about to talk about. So, now this, you might get this question in 1 second or you might get it wrong, which is what I'm hoping happens. Who managed Manchester City the last time we played them in an FA Cup semi-final?
Ooh. So I'm going to go here. I'm trying to think back. Last time I played, was it 2013? Benitez was the manager for Chelsea.
I'm not giving you any clues.
I'm trying to work it backwards. Okay, so last semi-final, we didn't have City. Oh, no, I know the last semi-final. I've just tried to trick myself there. It wasn't 2013. It was COVID. We had Thomas Tuchel. So it was Pep.
Fuck. You went down the exact path I wanted you to go down, and I was going to go, no, it was Pep 3 years ago, mate, and then you got it. That's really annoying.
You thought I was going to say Mancini. Doubt. It would have been Pellegrini, wouldn't it?
Pellegrini, yeah, I think. Never doubt an Echo's ball knowledge.
No.
An Echo's, an Echoist. I just, because I completely forgot that game had happened when I was looking through the archives, and then I thought, oh, maybe other people might have forgotten it had happened as well. Because I remember 2013, and I was thinking, yeah, he'll go for that. And you nearly did, and then you came to your senses, which, yeah, is annoying, but also shows, you know, we know our stuff. Well, Louis does anyway, because I forgot about the game. But that's the big question of the week. If any of you others forgot about the game, then ha, same.
To be fair, on the Werther's thing, actually, I had a meeting with Cam and Gary last week, just after we'd recorded it, and me and Gary spent about 10 minutes explaining what Werther's were to Cam. But we just couldn't find the right words because it was like a boiled sweet. But then it was like, it's not like
toffee.
When it's like, yeah, but it's not a toffee. It's like a boiled sweet, which is also
a
toffee.
Boiled sweet hard toffee, made in Germany. originally in the 1960s. It got its name Werther.
We're not doing this again.
I'm one of those people that when I get told like a fact, it like just stays in my head. So I'm hoping I know that for the rest of my life. I told someone the fun fact and they were very unimpressed at the event I was at on Friday.
I'm guessing she didn't give you a number then. Sorry, mate. It happens.
Well, it's a friend, so it wouldn't have mattered. One of my mate's girlfriends. So it wasn't a kind of flirting technique. I don't have any of them at all.
I was gonna say, you going off on your mate's girlfriend? You dirty dog, Thomas. I expect better from you.
No. Not every girl has to be a potential flirting thing, you know. Anyway,
speaking of stats, mate, I was Rizmaster General. You know what I mean? I went. I don't know if you got anyone seen my Instagram stories over the past few days, but I've been risen up someone who's trying to scam me. It's hilarious. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on into, as Tom said, the stats. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the only part of the show which has a jingle. It's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yeah, that's right. Let's shag some stats, everyone. And this time it's for the semi-final of the FA Cup. So, as I've already said, we have played Manchester City twice this season in the league, so I've gone for a very specific angle in the history of the fixture part of the Stat Shaggers section, which is literally looking at FA Cup clashes between Chelsea and Manchester City. There have been 8 in total, and Chelsea won the first one, wahey, in February 1915. If you remember any of those players, then I don't really know what to say to you. You're either like 125 years old, or you've got some very niche knowledge of mid-1910s football. Anyway, moving swiftly on. The other two FA Cup clashes between these two teams both went the way of Manchester City in the last century, but we're not going to talk about them much. Then we're going to move to when it actually kind of is a bit relevant to this current modern day, which is 2013, which is the next game between these two teams in the FA Cup. Now, Demba Ba scored an exquisite goal in the semi-finals, which we have spoken about in one of our Pub Talk episodes, which I believe is another plug, because one of those came out today. Wembley Goals. Check that out on the Sideline website if you want to hear
It was actually talking. Wembley 3 Wembley Cup Finals, this one, but the Wembley Goals one will be
Cup
coming
finals.
Soon.
Well, there is a Wembley Goals one at some point in the not-too-distant future.
All available on the Chelsea Sideline.
There we go. A joint plug. Bang. Done. Demba Ba scored a beauty in the semi-finals of the 2013 FA Cup, but that wasn't enough to see Chelsea through to the final. Sadly, Samir Nasri and Sergio Aguero, Chelsea's nemesis, saw City through. And the following season, Chelsea and City met again, and Nasri was again on the score sheet for City as they knocked Chelsea out in the fifth round. Stefan Jovetic also scoring that day. But fast forward a couple of years, Chelsea battered Manchester City's very weakened side, really weird team actually. 5-1 goals that day from Diego Costa, Willian, Gary Cahill, Eden Hazard and Bertrand Traore. And then we fast forward to the game that I asked earlier about, the old FA Cup semi-final of 2021 that I forgot about and I thought Louis did, but he didn't. Hakim Ziyech, the goal scorer that day, he sent us through to the final before sadly Yuri Tielemann's thunderbolt broke Chelsea hearts, only temporarily because we then won the Champions League the week after, but that's a whole other conversation. And then that was last year. Graham Potter's Chelsea got hammered 4-0 in the third round, which we will never ever talk about again. So overall, in the FA Cup, Chelsea have 3 wins, Manchester City 5. A good chance for Chelsea to reduce that gap this weekend, I think it might be. Now on to the manager record, Poch. We spoke about Poch and Manchester City at length before, because, as I say, we played them twice and his record's all right. So, he's played Manchester City more than any other team in his whole career, more times than anyone, 22 times. He's played them with all 4 sides he's managed, and it's pretty fair to say he's had mixed results in that time. In the 22 games, he's had 11 losses. So, half of his games have been losses, but you can turn that the other way around. Half of them have been positive results. 6 wins, 5 draws. I don't know how you want to swing that. I'll let you decide. His most recent win came at PSG 3 years ago in the Champions League group stage, but without a doubt his most famous win obviously sent Spurs through to, well, the UCL semi-finals and then final in that year. Thankfully, they didn't win. Ha. At Chelsea, he's drawn both of his clashes with City, a 4-4 classic at Stamford Bridge, and then a 1-1 Klingon draw at the Etihad. So, you know, he's doing something right against them. Hopefully this time he can get a win and end Chelsea's recent disastrous form at Wembley. On to Manchester City and their recent form. Well, you know, it's April, so City are, as usual, in absolutely excellent form, naturally. And they haven't lost at all in any competition since December the 6th, when Aston Villa beat them 1-0 at Villa Park. Now, we are recording this. It's now 8:09 p.m. on Wednesday the 17th, so Manchester City are currently playing against Real Madrid. So at the time this pod comes out, they may or may not have lost that game. We have no idea. So that might have changed. It might not have done. Who knows? But yeah, so basically, to put it lightly, this Manchester City team that everyone talks about, they're all right. The treble winners. Yeah, it turns out they're not a bad team at football, as it turns out. And they're in their classic end-of-season run where they basically don't lose. Again, let's hope that's not the case on Saturday. They've netted at least 3 goals in their last 4 matches. And they currently seem in pole position to win their 4th consecutive Premier League title after Arsenal and Liverpool both decided to lose on Sunday. Lol. But this isn't the Premier League, so let's do a little final wrap. How did Manchester City get to the FA Cup semi-finals? Well, they kind of just beat everyone, didn't they? They battered Huddersfield 4-0 in the third round, just about got past Tottenham 1-0 the week in the fourth round. Haaland then scored 5 against Luton in a 6-2 thriller at Kenilworth Road. And then they beat Newcastle 2-0 in the quarterfinals. Let's hope Chelsea can do something special on Saturday and end that run. It's back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Tomas. Fantastic listening that was. I'm very, very excited to see what happens. Obviously, as you said, we are recording this as City take on Real Madrid in the Champions League. And with that being said, by the way, I read a very interesting article earlier on The Athletic, because I can read. It's something which people get surprised by. Don't just read football autobiographies, although Harry Redknapp's one, absolutely fantastic. Having said that, apparently, and some people are trying to make a case for it, and if you want to read it, I suggest you do. It's a very interesting article. People are discussing whether or not City versus Real Madrid is now potentially up there as a classic and might be better than El Clasico. That was genuinely what I was trying to read. I don't think it is, but, you know, in terms of Champions League classics, I say in inverted quotes, because it remains to be seen for me, I think that there is a very good rivalry there, don't you, Tom?
There is a good rivalry there, and I think that's mainly down to the quality of the players on the pitch. Obviously, you know, you've got everyone, Foden, Bellingham, De Bruyne, Haaland. Next year, there'll be Mbappe as well. There are a lot of very good players. Vinicius against Kyle Walker's become a bit of a classic Champions League battle. But it's also the fact that they just keep getting each other every year, whether it be quarterfinals like this year. I think they played semi-finals last year. I think they had each other the year before. They just keep getting each other. So that's how it becomes a classic battle. A bit like Chelsea-Barcelona used to be. I guess we used to keep getting each other. So that's part of it. It's kind of luck of the draw in a way. But yeah, it's a great game. And I'm looking forward to sitting down and watching the rest of it. And hopefully also seeing Tommy Tuchel's brave Bayern hand Arsenal, end Arsenal's season, essentially.
that would be absolutely fantastic if that's the case. And I'm very much looking forward to that, because that'll be the one that I'm watching. But we will move swiftly on, because you aren't here to talk about the Champions League, because Chelsea aren't in it, which is incredibly depressing. We will be back, though, one day, after we've done our tours of Lithuania and, you know, deep Yugoslavia, which isn't a country anymore, so it'll be all the countries that were Yugoslavia. But with that being said, Tom, we need to do the Echo 11, which is the important part of the pod.
Cup semi-final Echo,
because
11.
Because we like to build it up and make it right.
We do.
We'll have to see. Do you change the team which faced Everton? Because I don't think politically you can.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because you kind of feel like everyone on that pitch earned their place, really. They obviously got a chance and they took it. No one had a bad game. I actually think I would make one change, thinking about it now, which is Ben Chilwell for Cucurella. I think I would do that. I thought, obviously, Chilwell, yes, he ended up coming on at left mid/wing.
It was back five. It was a wing back.
Yeah, so wing back, but it was kind of also just a let's just get everyone off and just chuck people on and see what happens, because it was 5-0 or six. No, it was 5-0 at the time, because then Gilchrist scored. Cookeray was fine, but fine is as far as I'd go. He again let a lot of crosses in he probably shouldn't have done, and I'm not sure about him. Whereas Chilwell came on and he brought a lot of energy into the team, which I quite liked. So I think I would do that. Enzo's obviously presumably out. Obviously last week we did the team, and it turned out then after the pod recording half the team were then injured. De Sassi was injured and Enzo was injured, so we had them in the 11 and then they obviously didn't play. So if we're going by that, I would do that. I would make one change, Chilwell at left back, and then I would play the usual. So Petrovic, Chalobah, Silva, Gusto, what was it, Gallagher, Chilwell left back, yeah, blah blah blah, Gallagher, Caicedo, Palmer in the 10, and then the front three of Mudryk, Jackson and Madueke, which I think can cause City problems.
I hope it can. I think having Thiago Silva in this game is going to be very important. You want that leader, you want someone who's been there and done it, and I think the only thing he hasn't won, aside from, you know, when he's been there, he's obviously not won the Carabao Cup, he's not won the league, but in terms of trophies which football players want to win, he's won the Champions League, and people always talk about the FA Cup, and I'm sure he'll want to get that before he retires.
He's only played in what? Two finals or three finals? Definitely two.
As the resident stat shagger, I'm very disappointed that you don't know these numbers, mate. Like, this is poor. I'm very disappointed in you. You're testing me. I'm not the one who bangs on about stats all the time. You have a whole section talking about numbers.
I know. Well, I just thought I'd test you out. It's two, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to say it's two. And if it's not, then it's not. Real Madrid have scored. There's a live update for you in the pod, and which will be really boring because you would already know the result. Anyway, that's the team. That's the Echo 11, I think. Are you happy with that?
I am indeed very happy with that. No complaints here. Yeah, that's that. I mean, we'll move on, obviously. It's a massive game for Chelsea. It's an opportunity to go to another final, which I think will be massive. It is crunch time. You know, Premier League and the FA Cup are turning into massive positives. Can we do it? Just give me something to cling on to, Tom.
You've got to believe. Firstly, you've got to believe. It's football. Anything can happen. It's a semi-final. I wish it was played anywhere but Wembley, just because of how we've done there recently. But it is, so we just have to get over that. The way we've played in both of our matches against Manchester City this year, I think you can genuinely say we were actually unlucky to come away with draws in both of those games. We genuinely probably should have won both of them, which is kind of crazy to say, but it's true. You can also say we deserve it. They were both very open games that could have gone either way, ended up both in draws. If it's like that again, then I think it's going to be very entertaining for the neutral, horrible to watch for everyone else. But can we do it is what you asked me, and I gave you a long answer. Yes, we can do it. Why not? Will we do it? Who knows? You can't predict that. But yeah, we can. Of course we can.
I like your positivity. Obviously, it is the magic of the cup. But with that,
it does
as
also
well,
help that we just won 6-0. Had we lost, it might have been different.
Yeah, that is true. Speaking of six, by the way, Chelsea are looking up rather than down now after that performance against Everton in the league.
Mm.
And you've posed a very interesting question here, and I want your answer to it, because my answer is going to be very old school in the approach. Would we rather finish sixth, which is an outside chance, or win the FA Cup? Or both, as you've put here.
Yeah, I was clearly in a very happy, positive mood when I wrote this script, which hasn't always been the case this season, I'll tell you that. Would I rather, I think, win the Cup? I mean, basically, both are a route into Europe, aren't they? So would I rather lift the FA Cup, which has been a trophy we've just been bottling, but we just haven't managed to win despite getting quite far in it for the past, five, 6 years, really. That'd be good. I think that'd be a really good season if, obviously, got to the League Cup final and just lost. Get to the FA Cup, win the FA Cup against Coventry.
that's definitely what's going to happen, though, isn't it? It feels so preemptive to think the United are going to win that game, but Coventry, it just feels it.
I genuinely think Cov are going to give them a real game. I just watch United at the moment. I'm like, what are you like? And also, commentary are not. I don't think they're in the playoff spots anymore. So they kind of don't really have anything. Let me check that before I might be chatting absolute rubbish. I looked at the championship table earlier and it's crazy down there. But yeah, they're not in the playoff spots anymore. They're now eighth and realistically have no. They're 8 points behind six. They're not going to be in the playoffs. This is their big game, and. You know they're gonna bring the noise. It's gonna be a good game. I think they'll give United a real game. So that's no give me. I'll tell you that. But yeah, back to Chelsea. I'd rather win the FA Cup, wouldn't you?
Oh, obviously, win a trophy. Give me a trophy. Let's set the precedent now. I want an FA Cup. I want that in the cabinet when we go and sign Ivan Toney, João Palhinha, and Max Kilman in the summer. That is the Benevente transfer target.
That's the three players you want.
That's three I want. That's maybe a left back just to work with Chile. But then again, right. Ian Matson's unbelievable.
Exactly what I was just going to say. I watched Ian Matson last night and I was almost crying at the prospect that he's probably never going to play for Chelsea. And he was even asked about it. And he said, it's a shame it didn't work out. And that to me is really sad because I'm thinking he probably knows he's not going to go back there. Whether he stays at Dortmund, I don't know. But he was bloody good last night. Definitely going forward. Maybe not amazing at the back. But that's the same with both of our left back now, you could say.
Fits right in. Perfect. Job done.
Exactly. Straight in. But there we go. That's that. I probably would buy a left. I like the Kilman shout. I like that. Then we can talk about futsal every episode as well.
That's a Louis Benevente and score special. That it's up there with that. And James Ward-Prowse was obviously part of that shout as well. But yeah, I mean, look, I think we'll have to see. Speaking of players, though, we've got to talk about who we've got in the teams right now, right? And there's obviously some fantastic players in that City team, and we could wax lyrical about the quality they have on the pitch and who's going to be key for them. But I think it's fairly obvious it's going to be Kevin De Bruyne. It's going to be Haaland. And defensively, it's probably going to be Ruben Diaz if he plays. But you can't even name a Pep 11 because he'd love to change it because he can, to be honest, with that squad. But I'd like to move on to the next bit, which is actually a question which I think is very, very important, because both of these players have been absolutely fantastic this season. And knowing the tournaments that are coming up and the manager which England have, one of them is not going to go, despite the fact they should both be there. Cole Palmer versus Phil Foden. Is that an England place up for grabs, or do you think both will actually get into that squad?
They're definitely both getting the squad. I think there's a doubt about that. It's whether they get into the starting 11. And I've seen some drafts be on Twitter where you're putting Palmer in the 10 and then Bellingham drops back and you've got Foden on the wing and everyone's kind of like, do you not remember kind of those, the golden boys of Scholes and Lampard and Gerrard, where you kind of just shoehorn all your stars into the team and it doesn't work? That's sort of what's happening there. I don't know what happens, because I think Foden is outstanding, obviously, but Palmer's playing so well. What do you do? I don't know. I'm glad I'm not Southgate in that position. But they both go. But at the moment, in terms of the way Palmer is literally carrying Chelsea, and Foden is playing very well, don't get me wrong, but for Manchester City, it's a bit different. I think Palmer's currently having the better season.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see what happens with that, because both are fantastic players, as you've said. And I don't think it's necessarily shoehorning. I think with Lampard, Gerrard and Scholes, it most definitely was. And there's no doubt that Phil Foden's best position is in the number 10. But we've seen him play on the left for Manchester City and be absolutely fantastic. And even for England, when he's played on the left, he's shown the capability to do it. He has the pace, he has the technical prowess. I think that he's someone who could definitely be in that position. I mean, that's what I'd do. I think you'd get Declan Rice to sit and you'd have Bellingham be a box-to-box alongside Cole Palmer, Foden on the left, right wing, not sure. I'm trying to think about that. It's probably going to be, they're going to be Saka, but I mean, I seem to be in the minority. You think he's a cracking player, but you know, he likes to limp off when things don't go his way, and that's really starting to annoy me now because you spot it a mile away. But then obviously Harry Kane's a centre forward, and that's fairly obvious. But you know, we'll have to see what happens. England aren't going to win anything because Gareth Southgate's the manager, so you know,
coming
home is what it is. It's not.
It's coming home.
But I'm sure we'll be doing some stuff around the Euros, and we'll keep you guys entertained with that. And obviously, there's going to be lots of other stuff coming over the summer, as well as more of the town halls, which you've been enjoying so much. But yeah, I mean, look, if he comes back to haunt them, he does well at the Euros, he's going to go. He's been amazing for Chelsea. We've rattled off those numbers like no one's business. Do you think City will regret selling Cole Palmer? Is he their Kevin De Bruyne almost? Is that his?
I really hope so. That would be really, really nice if it's not Chelsea that are bloody the ones selling a young player and not quite seeing his potential. That would be amazing. I think they probably already do a little bit. There must be part of them that's like, oh, imagine having him here as well. Because I've not been that impressed with Doku. I've not been that. Obviously, Grealish has not really played that much this season, so they haven't really had that. Like they put Foden on the left because De Bruyne, you know, when De Bruyne is there. But De Bruyne is 32. He's slowing down. That's where Foden wants to play and probably will. I feel like the baton's almost being passed on a bit to Foden coming into that central role. And then that's where Palmer could have been. And he's not. And he's now worth, I would have thought, probably about triple, or certainly more than double what we paid for him.
I'd argue he's quadruple, mate. Think about the contract he's on as well.
Yeah,
if,
true.
If PSG or Real Madrid came calling, you're not getting less than 200 million. Less. That is just. I wouldn't let him go for less than that.
No. So yeah, I think they probably do regret that. But no, they're City. They'll find someone else. I'm sure they'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure we can find another gem. Thanks to Joe Shields, and hopefully Romeo Lavia can be one of those, as that was another Joe Shields signing. So, yeah, we'll have to see. Chelsea, semi-finals, FA Cup, Wembley. I will be there. Tom, I don't know where you're watching it.
I might be there.
Well, if you're there, I'm guessing you're going to be coming back to mine afterwards to avoid all the traffic. Make use of that one last time before I have to move out and cry.
He's not going to be homeless, I don't think.
I mean, I might be homeless for about 3 weeks, but I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. The sofa at Mum and Dad's is looking very, very comfortable. Gave it a little go when I looked after my brother over the weekend to introduce him to John Wick and The Dark Knight, actually. I blessed him with the powers of the big brother. So he's 14. I'm going, let's get a little bit naughty. I'll show you 15. Yeah, you know, let's go for that.
You didn't go too naughty then and go, here you go, he's Wolf of Wall Street.
No, he's not ready for that. No, he hasn't seen it because he's the sort of lad who'd be taking on some of those mantras. I'd want to slap him. But anyway, it is what it is. I love him lots. Not as much as I love the Chelsea though, Charlie. So have that. Anyway, that has been the Chelsea Echo. This is the fastest growing Chelsea podcast on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. So please continue to share it. Tell your mum, your dad, your sister, your dog, your brother, John Wick, the Joker, your hamster, your baker if you're bougie, you know, living in the East End. Yeah. Well, she's a Fulham fan. You can find her in Inferno. She's there quite a lot, apparently. So, you know, just give her a little nudge. We're like, oi, have you heard about the Chelsea Echo? There's two lads on there and one of them knows lots of facts. You'd love him. See, I'm wingman you, Tom. That's what I do.
Thanks.
I'm an assister.
Sadly, she's married, but
hasn't stopped you before, has it? Anyway, we'll have to see what happens with that. I'm joking.
Thank you.
It's fine. They were swingers. They're cool with it. Anyway, guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo. Make sure you give us a 5-star review on the pod. If you haven't already as well, please do make sure you check out the Chelsea Sideline Club. There is currently a giveaway for a signed John Terry shirt. Yes, that's right. I saw it. I touched it. I felt it. I didn't lick it because the Sharpie would have come off. Would have been worth more then as well. Have my saliva on it. But, you know, there is a signed shirt available. So make sure you check that out. Check out the Chelsea Sideline Club on Twitter. All the details are there. And you've got to make sure you sign up because not only do you get fantastic opportunities to win signed John Terry shirts, you also get our exclusive episodes of Pub Talk on the Chelsea Sideline Club, where we give you everything you need to know, which is completely redundant and stupid, but you will love because it's behind a paywall, which means it's better because that's just a given, isn't it? You know, everything behind a paywall.
So much more as well. If you want to listen to some smarter voices than ours,
yeah,
that's all there as well. So exactly. Go for it.
Exactly. You've got Dan for that from the fan perspective. You've got some fantastic journalists, seeing Gary there as well, giving you some fantastic stuff. Cam is obviously doing a fantastic job. The Blueprint to listen to as well. There's so much for you to check out there, as well as some fantastic articles in the archive, which Gary wrote during his time at Chelsea, which are absolutely fantastic. And one more thing I do want to say before I go, or we go, is I'd like to send my regards to the family of Angry Rant Man and his friends, obviously, since he passed away. We didn't speak too much, but you know, we had a few interactions on Twitter, and you know, we had some chats, and he was a lovely bloke. So you know, regards to his family, and he'll be missed by everyone in the communities for some of the joy that he most definitely brought to others when we were going through significant amounts of pain. But that has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been your preview for Chelsea versus Manchester City at Wembley. Check out the final score show at the final whistle and the voice note reviews. And me and Tom will see you again for the next fixture. Take care of yourselves, guys. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.